You hear me? You
Yeah, I can
there?
hear you. I'm here.
Okay, well, great. Here we are. With 40 minutes of wasted bullshit, and here we are with our show. I don't even know where to begin.
Here we are. Rock is like a hurricane.
Oh, that's how we began. Yes. Like a hurricane?
Oh,
is it like Appalachian for hurricane, or?
Dude, it was just like fucking writers, whatever it's called, Liberty.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you. It's like that slant rhyme.
What's the actual code for it?
Here we are, rock us like a hurricane. Yeah, that's
it's called stroke rhyme.
What's up?
That was pretty funny, dude. You didn't give me any props.
Oh, I didn't hear what you said.
I said it's called stroke rhyme.
A what?
It's called stroke rhyme.
God. I'm not sure how that's funny. You'd have to explain it to me, but I would probably have to have a stroke before I understood it. Throw me in a wheelchair, bang me into a wall a few times, and then explain that joke to me, and I'll get it.
So, I don't know, like, tweet out Kamala Harris our phone number and see if she'll call us. Hey, Kamala.
It would be great if she did, because we are a subset of a subset of a subset of a subset of a subset. And if she really cared about what we represented, I think she would call. We'd ask her the really, you know, tough questions like, what's your favorite toilet paper? Do you take your martinis with or without vermouth? Miss Harris. She's going to be something else. Can't wait till she's leading the country. Ah, fuck's sake. There's no alternative.
Right.
When you don't have an alternative to an alternative, what's that called?
So just read it. Hey, Kamala Harris, call into our talk radio show. We're live now.
Like, it would be better if maybe there's, like, someone that we could actually get that's semi-famous, like the guy that used to play Mr. Whipple in the fucking Charmin commercials, or, like, it's going to be somebody. Like, Jesus Christ. It's just funny. Even if we were to say, you know, like, hey, Danny Bonaducci, call in. He's too big a star to call into our show.
Danny Bonaducci is not too big for our show. You take that
Casey
back.
Anthony. It would be like, hey, Casey Anthony, could you maybe, lick your cellmate's pussy for 25 cents so that you could get on the phone, the payphone in the fucking prison and call us? There's got to be somebody. There's got to be somebody that's going to listen to us and call in and,
Hey, Kamala Harris, call into our talk radio show. We're live right now. You can call us at 516-590-0359.
I'm sure their Twitter. I mean, it's like literally. It's like the thing is, it's like Kamala.
I should have put.
What are,
please retweet.
What are you afraid of? Like, why won't you call us? What are you afraid of? You know? Are you afraid of us?
I'm going to post it again because I forgot to put please retweet.
What does that mean?
Like, please, like, retweet this so other people see it.
Oh, okay. All those thousands of people that are going to be seeing this. All right, now we're going to get her. Because it's just going to be a mob that's going to be asking for...
Yeah. Wait, why?
Kamala.
Why wasn't
yeah,
I...
Yeah.
Oh, please retweet, yeah. Please retweet. ! Should I put please, like, all caps, please? Or just, like, capitalize the P? Which one do you think?
Well, you know, upsetting? James, that's a subtle distinction that I think that I will leave to you. Because, you know, I don't want to be overbearing in this quest for us to get Kamala. The Ugandan giant. Oh my goodness. In our aborted episode do you think that we'll ever see the light of day? Don't let it. Do you have any control over how then it gets posted? Because whatever happened last hour was just god awful. I'm not
it's
sure what happened.
Published, bro.
Oh my god, you imbecile! Is there a way to figure out how those things don't happen?
Yeah, well, I could delete it, but I don't want to, man. It's part of our fucking process. It's part of us. Why do you want to delete us, man?
Yes, my God. Do you know what deleting is? Okay. It's like, it would be like saying, okay, I just took a giant dump, but I'm not going to flush the toilet because I don't want to delete that process, that part of me, you know? So that's what happened in the last, so yes, delete them all.
If I was initially taking that dump on like a piece of glass, for like an art project, I probably would not throw it away just because it looked a little weird, because that's part of the fucking art project, asshole. You compare our podcast to a fucking piece of shit, literally.
I can't believe that our conversations about defecation are actually they're becoming aesthetic. This is just getting pretty highbrow.
Oh my god, I think I'm gonna burp.
No one wants to hear it, man. So, what do you want to talk about? We got an hour.
Yeah, a little more than that, actually.
Oh, do we? Well, I don't know if I'll be. James, I'm like on my last leg. This has been a fucking. It's literally like, I feel sometimes like just doing one podcast is like filming Lawrence of Arabia. my entire worldview has changed in the course of just like two short hours. I'm sunburnt, wet, you know, weathered with age and dealing with alcoholism.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm Peter O'Toole. I become Peter O'Toole after just like 1 hour of contact with you.
Thank you.
So what you got, man?
Let's see.
One thing, anything. There's got to be something we can talk about.
So there's a new poll that says Americans trust businesses more than government, except social media, which they hate.
Americans trust businesses over governments, except social media, which they hate. That seems about right.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure why they would. To me, it would be like government, business, social media would be like my thing. But, yeah, I mean, Americans are really in like a pickle right now because they're being brainwashed from every side, from all three, really, if you think about it. So, you know, it's literally, I think that I'm actually someone that, and I think you are too, that is actually has some kind of actual intellect. And I feel that the world we're living in right now has like usurped us of all of our intellectual power, because it's like, how can you think about anything when there's nothing to think about? And everything is upside down, and I don't know who to blame. And it seems like this has just occurred in the last fucking 2 years, you know? And then the coup de grace was fucking the last 4 or 5 months, where we don't even know what to think about anything. You know, there's, right. You can't put your foot down on anything. Everything is malleable, and it's absolutely fucking ridiculous. And this is how coups start, right? So I'm not sure who to blame. I don't know where it's going or who started it, but man, I'm telling you, something's going on, and it's not right. We just need to figure out how to get back to square one real quick. And is it Biden? It seems to me like the threat is that things are going to get worse if Trump gets reelected. But at the same time, if Biden gets elected and the media really is so fucking far left that they're trying to confuse everyone into voting Democrat, then that's even more dangerous. It's even more fucking dangerous. So I don't even know how to think. And I'm a person that has spent the last fucking 30 years of my life reading books on how to fucking think about things, you know? So I don't know. I have no idea what's going on right now.
So have you heard this conspiracy theory? Why are tens of thousands of convicted criminals being let out and housed secretly in hotels? I believe it is.
Well,
that's
not a conspiracy theory. It's happening.
No. Well, they're saying that, but this is a conspiracy theory, is that I believe it is to fill Antifa and BLM ranks with hard criminals after real Donald Trump wins re-election. They will be the Democrats' army.
Ha, well, that's hysterical, because I don't think they don't have the numbers to be that, you know. And, I mean, eventually there's going to just be there is going to be a short time, obviously. We can all just pretend we're not looking at it, but our country is going through something. So there is going to be a very short period of time where the National Guard are called into places and people are going to get shot. It's just going to happen. So we have to brace ourselves for that. And then we need to figure out why that happened and who's to blame for it. Or not even who's to blame, because that's the whole thing, right, that's going on right now is blame. But, you know, Donald Trump has just as great a shot to win the presidency as Joe Biden. Is that Babs? Am I hearing Babs?
No.
I'm not? I'm just, no. What am I hearing? You have like a Pikachu doll next to you that you're just pressing the stomach?
No, I was just transferring you to my phone so I can go out and smoke.
I thought I heard a female. So, yeah. So, I mean, that's where we're at. I have no idea where we're at is where we're at. And where are you at, James?
I'm
you there?
I'm here. Rusty, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, except we're not having an actual dialogue, which is the whole point to being on air and talking to each other.
Well, I mean, I didn't know if you could hear me, so how could we be dialoguing?
You didn't know if you didn't know if I could hear you for like 40 seconds?
Oh,
this
really?
Is actually great. It's kind of like, it's kind of, you know, when you were saying, hey, I'm going to put everything up. But it's kind of like we're going to watch the breakup of Martin Lewis, which took, like, first of all, they're much more talented than us. But it took 2 years. Ours is going to take literally 4 months because we're about there.
It's not my fault the fucking shit was malfunctioning.
Malfunctioning? Okay.
Dude,
well, everything's
like
functioning now, and we're trying to have a conversation, which is the whole point of our show, and you, then I lose you for giant swaths of time. I wonder where you are. I inquire, hey, where are you? And then you never have an answer. I don't know what you're doing. It's like...
Right now,
it's
I'm
like,
staring at Jupiter and Saturn, I think.
Oh, is that what you're doing? How are they? They still there?
They're still there.
Because you could have done that last night. They'd be probably in the same fucking place. You know? Your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will be staring at those motherfuckers. But right now, we're supposed to be doing a fucking show.
I know, dude. I'm waiting for you to say something that I can respond to. What's something in the news that you want to talk about?
I don't know. Because the thing is, because essentially, we could have talked about the last issue we were talking about for the entire hour, but you just dropped out on me. It's like, okay, well, here we are. Once again... you ask me a question, I give you my opinion, and then you're lost for 30 or 40 seconds. And it's like, I mean, come on. Conversation's got to be a back and forth.
Okay. You ask me a question, asshole.
All right. Jesus Christ, I'm not prepared to ask you a question about anything because I'm not sure what the answer would be. And how long the lag would take before you responded to me. I mean, I could ask you a question, but... All right. Well, what do you think? What do you think essentially about defunding the police? Do you think that's a great idea?
Like, what would you defund them completely?
Well, I mean, that's
hello?
I don't think, I'm here. I don't think that was ever a question, you know, defund the police completely. I think the question was just defunding them because we're kind of living in a police state. And so
yeah,
maybe
like,
by defunding,
maybe
there'd be a
like automatic machine guns and shit. But then you have those fucking like crazy motherfuckers like in Las Vegas, and they do need those fucking automatic machine guns, you know? It's like, what the fuck? Like, damn it,
sure,
damn
yeah,
if you don't.
Yeah, sure. So I mean, I get kind of. Well, here's the thing. I feel like we are in.
Didn't one of the founding fathers say that like? The worst thing we did in our Constitution was, like, leave out. Oh, no, that was about slavery. Never mind.
Well, no. What were you going to say?
I was thinking about the worst thing we did about the Constitution is leave out the part about
the right to bear or about
carrying arms. Bear arms. We did not leave that. Well, thanks for dropping that one in there because.
Well, I mean, the fucking thing was written like over.
I think the worst thing that they left out of the Constitution was the right to gather and assemble in a peaceful way. Because if we just had that.
You're a dictator.
Well, okay. Well, I don't know about all that. My thing is like we have slowly. I'm hearing a lot of feedback, man.
Okay. Oh, you're on speaker. But, I don't tell you. I'm sorry.
Maybe I shouldn't be. Yeah.
I'm too lazy to hold my phone to my ear.
Yeah, but I mean, we want our 14 listeners to hear this. the thing about I even lost my place to where we were at because you're so infuriating to me. Okay, so we're kind of in like, we are, as Americans, in a semi-police state. And I think, I don't know how it happened, I think it's kind of like about, you know, bureaucracy. And so there is that problem. And I think that problem exists in a lot of places where crime isn't high. And so they're literally kind of terrorizing the city with... you know, like minor traffic violations and this and that. And, you know, part of that is that that's how they supplement their income. And so, like, yeah, there's a million different ways that the police, we need to get out of this police state we're in, which is, to me, undeniable. It is a police state. But we fucking need police, you know. Right. And maybe we have overfunded the police, you know, and... the same way as anything else, you know, when something gets overfunded, then you create something that has to perpetuate itself. And
but
you're not
going to get anybody. That's why we have, like, the prison population we have, you know. Half of the people in prison are in for, like, nonviolent offenses. That's fucking insane.
Which is ridiculous. Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, there's these are things that every good liberal can agree with. It just doesn't mean that I agree with fucking looting and, you know, cities being shut down and defunding the police department because it's fucking ridiculous. This is shit that needs to, like, on a local level, be addressed, and then you address it, you know? And... I feel like a lot of these protests, the machine is so big that they're just allowing people to get their angst out, and then everything will go back to the way it was. Where if people really did protest in the correct way, there might be a way to get, in a sensible way, out of this fucking police state that we are in. Because there's no two ways about it. We're in a police state.
Yeah.
And are you still staring at the stars? Thanks for the back and forth there, James.
No, I mean, I don't know what else to say. Like, I mean, I just think about, like, all these people that, like, get locked up in fucking prison for nonviolent offenses and become violent offenders while they're inside to survive back out on the street with, like, a criminal record and a felony for some, like, fucking for having, like, a couple bags of weed on them or something.
Sure. I mean, it's I think what needs to really be kind of addressed is the system of oh my God, did you just kill a person? It's like maybe the probation system is all kinds of fucked up, you know, because it's designed directly to send people back to jail. You know, I, you know, and personally, I don't think the government has ever had a right to fucking monitor your piss, you know, if you're a drug offender or whatever. I mean, give me a fucking break. I don't know how that was. I don't know how any of that was upheld by the Supreme Court. You know, take out your dick in front of the. I mean, could you imagine the fucking founding fathers going, "Oh, that makes sense. Someone drank something that the English didn't approve of, and then they said, take out your dick and piss in front of me, and we're going to find out if that is a thing we approve of or not." They would fucking, there would be more people tarred and feathered. You know? So it's just ridiculous. We lost, you know. And how about this? How about, have you, like, really read what, like, tarring and feathering was?
Wasn't it, like, dipping them in really hot tar and then, like...
Yes!
Yeah,
so you're killing them, right? But you're killing them in the worst possible way. Because not only is the hot tar burning every inch of your skin, but then it's also suffocating you at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And then they take your body, which has been deformed by the tar, and they put feathers over it just to go, ah, look at this motherfucker. I mean, and then I remember when I was a kid, they'd be like, oh, they would literally just be like, when we, you know, learned the Revolutionary War, they'd be like, well, they tarred and feathered that guy as though it was just kind of like kicking him in the butt, you know. Oh, they made him look like a foolish guy instead of like a fucking demented corpse. This is fucking, I mean, could you imagine? They'd be like, oh, we're gonna tar and feather this guy. Oh, look, he's been tarred and feathered. And, like, you know, like the 8-year-old that's just watched this, who's just like, I'll never sleep again. The wails of his death, you know, are going to haunt me for the rest of my fucking life. And they're like, oh, it was just a tarring and feathering. I mean, how fucking crazy people were, you know? So that's like the whole thing, like when people were like, oh, you know, the 1619 Project or whatever you said, you know, whatever's going on right now, you're like, oh, you know, 1776 was all fucked up and it was terrible. Of course it was. It was 17 fucking 76. These people were like mildly retarded. They're nothing like we are today.
Making up a country as they went along.
Pardon?
I said they were literally just making up a country as they went along.
Absolutely. And, you know, and not with any kind of really, like, foresight or hindsight or anything. They were just doing it. And,
Did I mention that, like, who said that the founding fathers' biggest mistake was not addressing slavery and the Constitution? Do you know who said that?
Sammy Davis Jr. I think he did say that, though. But who was it? Was it another founding father?
I can't remember who it was.
Oh, well, that's great. Thanks for bringing that to the table. some fucking old guy who's dead. He said that was the thing that they should have addressed. But, you know, I mean, here's the whole thing about the slavery issue is that, I mean, if you look at slavery, right, it ended in 1840 in England, right? And it ended in 1865 in America. But the first country to ban slavery was the fucking North that never had slavery, right? Never. So, like, they had, so in 17 or 1680 or whatever, there were several states that were like, slavery is banned. And that was, like, so unheard of. So America was really the first country to ban slavery. It was just half of America. And we weren't even, like, kind of... You know, we weren't a union yet, you know? So, I mean, who knows? So, next thing you want to talk about?
I'm looking at Abraham Lincoln's inaugural address. I think that's where he might have said it.
Oh, Abraham Lincoln? Well, he was 100 years late, right? Talking about slavery.
All right.
You know, they said he was a gay.
A gay?
Historians? Have you heard that?
Yeah, like, well, he had like a special friend that. I mean, they
yeah,
just said
that he lived with for like 13 years. It's a special friend.
And they shared a bed, but a lot of the guys back then shared beds, I think, that weren't gay.
Yeah, and a lot of guys back then probably jerked each other off. I don't know. But. I mean, that it seems like a little extreme. And then he marries this woman who, I don't know, apparently she suffered through extreme, like, bipolar distress or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, his entire life was awful.
Yeah.
But he was a great orator, and apparently he was actually kind of like ribald in person. You know, he made a lot of dirty jokes, and he was really quick-witted. So it's kind of like, yeah, maybe he was gay because he was like Paul Lynde, and you know, he'd be like, he'd be like, you know, she'd be like wringing her hands in the green room, and he'd be like, I don't know what this bitch is doing.
Well, I know, but like, can you imagine? He like lived such a hard fucking life, man.
Apparently. Well, like, it's a thing where, like, they would, you know, and everything is apocryphal, but, like, they're like, you know, he.
Wish I lived back then, because, like, back then, didn't you really be like, I want to be a lawyer? You're like, all right, I'm a lawyer.
What?
So did you like, actually have to go to law school back then, or could you just, like,
yeah, there was law. Oh my god! You didn't just say I wanted to be a lawyer. There have been places of learning for fucking like 2,000 years. I want to be a dentist. All right. Okay. Well, then just set up a dentist shop. No, there was definitely law schools in 1840.
I know, but I'm saying it wasn't easy. Couldn't you really just say that you were, like, take the bar or something? Like, was it legal back then? Like, I know, I think there's, like, there's only a few states now where you can take the bar without going to law school.
Oh, okay, you're saying that he took the bar without going to law school.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, if he did or did not, though.
Oh, okay. Well, that's maybe a possibility, but, like, that's just one that you're pulling out of your hat? Or, like, did you hear that?
No, but I don't know. No, I'm just asking, like, back then, like, how did it work? Did, like, people
go to school? You went to school. It wasn't that. We're not talking about thousands of years ago. We're just talking about, like, relatively, I mean, literally 1865. He went to fucking college. He passed the bar exam, and he started fucking practicing. you're acting like they were like, okay, to pass the bar, you've got to rub these two stones together and make fire. It was literally just like 130 years ago or something, you imbecile. Abraham Lincoln, and then like when he was in the court system, he would just make like bird noises. He'd be like, I think this man is guilty of murder. What is your defense? Abraham Lincoln, defendant guilty.
Hey, you want to shut up and eat a dick, asshole? Because it says, Abraham Lincoln enjoyed a successful legal career in Illinois spanning nearly 25 years. Like most lawyers of his time, he did not attend law school. It was customary to study under established lawyers, but he lived in a rural village and taught himself. So eat a dick,
okay, well, there you go. It was customary. So he had an apprenticeship, which is just the same way as saying
no, he
went
not.
To college.
Did you just fucking listen to what I read?
I did. I listened to exactly what
he
said.
So he taught himself.
Okay, so yes, you're right. I kind of did make you seem like an imbecile when... But I think we're like kind of like 50-50.
You laughed for like 15 fucking minutes when I said he didn't go to fucking law school. Like, law school didn't exist back then. So fuck you.
Okay, well, look up who is his gay lover? What does it say?
What?
His gay lover. He's got to be there somewhere.
Who was... Abraham Lincoln.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was like Paul Lynn the first and he's like, oh. He's like, oh,
so
Abraham.
It's not like auto-filling anything. But sexuality of Abraham Lincoln on Wikipedia. The heterosexuality has been questioned. Lincoln was married to Mary Todd. Blah, blah, blah. It doesn't really say anything else. Oh, is it William Henderson?
Is it?
Or is it Joshua Speed?
Joshua Speed, that sounds right. And also, apparently...
Joshua Fry Speed, actually. That sound more familiar, Joshua Fry Speed?
Yeah, that does sound more familiar. And apparently also, like, Lincoln's voice was, like, high-pitched and effeminate. I mean, like, that was why people at the time, you know, would make snide remarks about him. But...
Yeah, it says Joshua Fry Speed was a close friend of Abraham Lincoln from his days in Springfield, Illinois, where Speed was a partner in a general store. Later, Speed was a farmer and a real estate investor in Kentucky and also served one term in the Kentucky House of Representatives. So,
Well, that's not saying much of anything. When they say close friend, it's
alleged hidden diary. It says, in 1999, author and gay activist Larry Kramer claimed that he had uncovered new primary sources which shed fresh light on Lincoln's sexuality. The sources included a hitherto unknown Joshua Speed diary and letters in which Speed writes explicitly explicitly about his relationship with Lincoln. These items were supposedly discovered hidden beneath the floorboards of the old store where the two men lived and are said to reside in a private collection in Davenport, Iowa. Kramer has yet to publish any of this material for critical evaluation, and historian Gabor Borit, referring to Kramer's documents, wrote, "Absolutely, certainly, this is a hoax."
Oh, yeah, well, that sounds like a hoax, absolutely. But I've also heard, maybe that's a hoax, but I think that historians were kind of like, I mean, you heard the story, too, and that's not from Larry Kramer, that he did live with a guy and they slept together in the same bed, so we heard the same story. And I don't think that's a Larry Kramer thing, but who knows? The whole thing is, I don't care who Abraham Lincoln was fucking. But it was just like an aside that he was him and like I think like what William Henry Harrison were the two people that were the two, and the other guy was just because he wasn't married. But I mean, maybe he just didn't like broads. You know, doesn't mean they like stick. But yeah. Well, aside, you know, of whether or not Abraham Lincoln was gay. He did a solid for our country, right?
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I just hope that if he was gay, that he was a top. That's all I hope.
Well, it depends where he derived his pleasure from. Because if, you know, he was a bottom, all the good things he did for the country, too, you want him to, you know, have pleasure.
Right, but I still would prefer.
I just hope that no one jacked off into the beard. And then, yeah. I mean, it's like, imagine how long that would take back in the day to just wash all that off.
You know, he never missed a drop of it.
No, he was just like, aim for the mouth. Apparently he had like a high pitched southern drawl, so he'd be like, aim for the mouth. First guy, it's ready, he's go.
I don't think I've ever heard that Lincoln was supposed to have had a high pitched voice.
Yes, no, seriously, you could even, he was supposed to have a very high pitched effeminate voice.
What kind of
I think he's like the last president, or the president that was not, he was the last of the president, or the first, oh, Jesus, how do you put that? He was the first president not to have, God damn it, the last president before they could record a president's voice. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, everything about, Abraham Lincoln is just left to like people's reminiscences.
All right. Oh, well, I guess you're right.
Well, read it for the people.
It says journalist Horace White described Lincoln as having a quote, a thin tenor, a rather falsetto voice, almost as high-pitched as a boatswain's whistle. Others described it as shrill and sharp, which the New York Herald noted in February 1860 had a, quote, frequent tendency to dwindle into a shrill and unpleasant sound.
And you think that, like, if you get, like, if you've got, like, a fucking Vanity Fair, like, you know, magazine article about you and you're fucking Brad Pitt and they say one thing or the other,
right.
That's awful. Right. I mean, could you imagine? Like, that was journalism back in the day. I mean, that was just the meanest thing you could ever imagine. They're like, this fucking journalist who's living right around the time of Abraham Lincoln is like, this guy's got a fucking voice that would fucking drown boats.
Right.
Yeah.
He died 12 years before Edison invented the phonograph.
What's the sonograph?
The phonograph.
Oh, the phonograph. Oh, okay. I was like, he died. I was like, that's kind of like, he's like, he died 10 years before Edison was able to look in women's wombs.
You dumbass.
Oh. All right, what else have we got about Abraham? He's on the penny.
Well, so, you know, like when you Google something, it says people also ask. So I Googled, like, are there any audio recordings of Abraham Lincoln? But some people also ask. The first one is, what did Abe Lincoln's voice sound like? The second one is, what language did Abraham Lincoln speak?
And that was written in English? I think just the answer should just be like Spanish, you cunt. It'd be like, it'd be funny if it was like, actually, in order to kind of you know, relax racial tensions, Abraham Lincoln spoke in Ebonics. So he was like, yo, yo, fourth golden 20 years ago, y'all. In order to perform a more motherfucking perfect union. Okay, that was bad. I can even admit it. Yeah.
Dude, I think I'm out of cigarettes. It sucks.
How about you're out of cigarettes?
I think so.
Do you have
like
a vape?
Half of one without a butt. I sound like a broken one just laying on my steps outside.
Well, that would send me into, if I was out of cigarettes, that would send me into absolute, like, crisis mode.
No, there's nothing open around here. Everything closes matter. And I'm way too high to drive right now.
Yeah, well, I hear you.
Maybe I can find.
All right, well, how about, let's see. How about,
yeah, just
look
this.
Up. Hello?
Okay, look up what? Yeah, look, I thought you were going to say let's go get off.
Let's look at, like, maybe, okay, so we did Lincoln. Let's look up maybe Andrew Jackson. He seems to be like a piece of shit, right?
Yeah, what are we looking up about him?
His the Indian Wars. And his hairstylist. Because whenever I see him on the 20, I'm like, Jesus Christ, it's nice
here. Trail of Tears.
Huh?
Andrew Jackson, The Trail of Tears. Was he
yes, yes. He's responsible for that. Yeah.
Wow. This is perpetrator.
I mean,
federal government of the United States.
Well, yeah, you're that's Wikipedia, right?
Yeah, attack type, yeah. Population transfer.
But apparently, he was a great president outside of his genocide of the Native Americans. My God, what are you doing?
to live in a house.
This is kind of like, this is fun because it's kind of like an old-time radio show. It's like, and it's like, where are you going? And then we can hear the click, 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 click into the other room. All right. And what are you doing now? I'm opening up the refrigerator. And what are you doing now? Click. I'm opening up a beer. And then what are you doing now? Click, 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 click. I'm walking back. And what are you doing now? I'm sitting in a chair.
I'm talking to a dick.
Okay, so did I fill enough time for you to fucking find out what happened there with the Trail of Tears?
With the what?
Oh, my God. Okay, so we're not going to talk about Andrew Jackson. Is there something else? Would Babs please get on the phone?
What?
Can we get Babs on the phone?
She's in bed.
She's in bed?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's been working and shit.
Oh, well, yeah. Somebody's got to bring home the bacon.
So what are you bringing to the table, Rhett? I feel like I've brought all the good shit tonight.
You brought everything that you could possibly bring to the table tonight?
I mean, I think if we're talking about good shit, I think, yeah, I brought most of it.
You did. You really did, James. I don't know. What would you like to talk about?
That's exactly what I just asked you, asshole.
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. It's got to be something. I'm going to look up on the internet. Okay. I'm going to look up the first thing that comes up on the internet. Okay. Want to reduce brain fog and improve clear thinking? Give up these things immediately. Let's see what they want us to give up. Give up clutter. Mess creates stress. There's a strong link between your physical space and your mental space. So clutter is bad. How do you feel about that?
I agree with that.
You agree with that?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a pretty cluttery person, though.
Well, I mean, I would imagine that's true. Clutter is something that I don't really have to deal with because I don't own that many things. But if you're talking about just absolute filth, then yes, you need to give that up. So, like, already I'm like, okay, well, give up clutter. Okay, well, I don't have clutter. I just have filth. Yeah, like, you know, like when you watch that show, it's Hoarders, and they go, well, there are two types of hoarders. There are hoarders that are just hoarders, and then there are hoarders that are like filth hoarders, just because they refuse to clean. I'm in the second category. Literally, there are times where my habitat is just like, if someone came in, they would like throw up and run away. Okay. So that's just a little peek into my life. Okay, so let's see what the next one is. Okay, so give up clutter. All right. And let's see. Yeah. Okay. Multitasking doesn't work. Okay, so
what?
This is already like, the ability to multitask is a false badge of honor. Like, so they're saying already, if you're good at something, forget about it. Task switching has a severe cost. Your concentration suffers when you multitask. Okay, so, well, you don't have to worry about that. Jesus Christ, what is going on?
I'm just going back in.
My God. All right. The third one would be give up urgent distraction. Disconnect. Okay, this is one for you. Give up urgent distraction. Disconnect. Your productivity, creativity, and the next big idea depends on it. Urgency wrecks productivity. Oh, no, this is actually too well for you. We want you to be a little more urgent. Okay, so stop feeding your comfort. Comfort provides a state of mental security. When you're comfortable and life is good, your brain currently releases chemicals like dopamine and serotonin, which lead to happy feelings. But in the long term, comfort is bad for your brain. Oh, for fuck's sake. I have no idea what I just clicked on. It's over. I despise it. Okay.
What Man, is I'm too comfortable. I need to fuck some shit up.
No, you don't. Whatever you think you need to do, you need to stop immediately. Seriously.
You're probably right.
Okay, let's see. I'm on Vox now. All right, we got they say, okay, the surprising benefits of contemplating your death. There's no benefit to that, is there? Joe Biden's criminal. I mean, that's obviously something that's written for people that are not contemplating their death. And then Joe Biden's criminal justice reform plan explained. Kamala Harris's controversial record on criminal justice explained. Okay, let's see how they explain it. Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat, California, has earned the reputation of a rising star in the Democratic Party, most recently becoming Biden's running mate in the election, but she's also faced questions over her record on criminal justice issues, a record that's led some critics to describe her as not a progressive reformer, but as a relic of tough-on-crime era going back to the 90s and 2000s. Well, I mean, this is... everyone knows this. GG. All right, let's talk about television. What's your, okay. What was your favorite television show when you were 10 years old?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I remember, like, I never really watched it all that much, but I remember my grandmother was a huge fan of the Dukes of Hazzard, and she was, like, an interesting character because she was from West Virginia, and I think she was only, like, when I knew her, right, she died early. But when I knew her, she was, like, I think only, like, maybe 48 or 49. So she was only, like, when I was a little boy. Yet she looked like she was 100. And she'd go, oh, Barry. This is how she talked. I'm not fucking, this is exactly how she talked. She'd go, television, they don't understand. What is funny? I'm going to tell you what's funny. It's Roscoe P. Coltrane and Boss Hogg. They know how to make a person laugh. And I'd be like, I just, for some reason, like, when I heard her, like, scream that at me, and she had, like, dentures. Like, she, I'm telling you, she was a fucking out of her mind. I was just like, oh, okay, so maybe I shouldn't be watching The Dukes of Hazzard. Like, it's like a child. I, that's what I thought. I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't. And she was like, that's the humor. Yeah, she was something else, my grandma. Grandma Selma. And she would just go,
I think we discussed this before. I think I told you my early memories of my grandmother, who was like a raging alcoholic.
Yeah, and well, mine was too. She would fucking, we would go over there, we'd go over there to the house, and she had married this guy named Don, and like my mom was not a fan of his. But at the same time, she would send me over to the fucking house, you know, like whenever, sometimes for like 2 days, if whatever they were doing, you know. And it was Grandma and Don, who was just some like dude that she had remarried. And, you know, they would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning and they would both have their six packs and she'd be smoking her fucking Lucky Strikes. He'd be smoking his cigars, and it went on from there. But what about your grandma?
No, but like she was like in a nursing home, but she had like prescribed to her like something like 3 or 4 shots of whiskey like a day. Like
in the nursing home?
Yeah.
What was it? 1913?
That was like in the '80s, but. I mean, like she was such an alcoholic that they just like.
Oh, I got you. They just too, they like, wanted to keep her from dying.
Right, like she would go into like, you know, like the DTs would literally kill her.
Yeah, it's just and that's a real thing because once you get to a certain age, if you're used to drinking, it'll kill you to stop drinking.
Yes.
Yeah, and the thing about prohibition. Was doctors could prescribe you bottles of whiskey.
Probably
like to the same of, you know, type of people. I don't know. But like, or if you knew a doctor, he would just write you a prescription for whiskey. So.
Right.
Yeah. And then like when you're,
don't you think, I know that you're like against it. But don't you, like, think the same thing with whiskey and beer and rum and all that shit and, like, how, like, bad it got when they made it illegal? Like, don't you think that's the same thing we're doing with, like, marijuana and cocaine and LSD right now?
Sure. I mean, we're on the same page
like,
there.
We're making it, like, 20 times worse by keeping it illegal than just making it fucking legal and make people have to have, like, a card for it or something, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, for the most part, it just where it gets dicey is when you're dealing with like super addictive drugs, you know. So, but like, obviously, marijuana.
But like, wouldn't it would be like cheaper and safer? I think if we like. Not only legalized it, but let, like people who were addicted, like come in daily for like maintenance doses of whatever they're fucking on, cocaine or whatever, heroin, whatever. Like come in.
We have had this discussion before, but I think that I agree. And there's always going to be people that take advantage of anything. But absolutely, for sure, because like the big problem that you have when you become a drug addict is, you know, the Keith Richards quote, which is, "I don't have a drug problem, I've got a cop problem," you know.
Right.
So that's that's one of the main things, and that's like kind of really in line with what we're talking about right now, and yet at the same time, it's really weird that the drug issue isn't being pushed so much. I don't know. It just seems all to be identity issues as opposed to the fact that all of this is stemming from the drug war. You know what I'm saying? So it makes me also very, like, it makes me very suspicious of what this is, you know, what's going on right now. It seems to be more, it seems to be very more about political parties taking advantage of anger and not really wanting to solve anything, so.
Oh, absolutely. But it's been like that since the 80s, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like,
but yeah,
like
sure.
Years.
I mean, but like,
but like,
you know, at the same time. Go ahead.
Now I can't remember what I had it in my head for like 5 minutes. You kept talking.
I have that. I'm sorry, I have that habit.
Oh no! Oh, that show Narcos. Did you ever watch that on Netflix? That's a great fucking show, man.
Yeah. But I mean, like, the bottom line is, if we were to legalize all drugs, it would be a rocky road for at least a decade. It's not something that you could just do and you go, look, here we go, you know, eureka, we found the problem solved. There would be a spike in drug addiction and stuff. And then through education, you know, and the fact that everything was legal, I think it would probably plateau. But you would still have those real rough 10 years. I mean, my God, could you imagine if you just legalized drugs? And yet at the same time, I think that's the way we need to go, you know? I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, at the very fucking least, legalize weed everywhere and sell it, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything to me because it's already legalized pretty much everywhere, or it will be, you know. But then...
I watch fucking cops, so I watch YPD. They catch people with, like, ounce of weed. They're like, you're going away for a long time.
Well, I don't think they are. I think the problem is that once you get into the system... The system wants to keep you in it. So they do these things where someone, you know, is pulled over with a fucking joint, right? And, but they'd like to smoke marijuana. And so then they're put into the system, and then they're given a probation officer, right? And the probation officer is like, all right, you need to quit smoking weed for a year. And the fucking person is like, no, you know, I'd like to smoke weed, right? So they're always trying to dodge bullets. But if the probation officer then says, all right, you know, I'm telling you, I'm going to test you in 2 weeks. But then if the probation officer is a fucking prick, he just goes, I'm testing you tomorrow. And then this motherfucker just violated his probation. Now, the original charge said, this guy's on probation, but if he violates his probation, then he's going to have to go to jail for 2 months, right? So this motherfucker that didn't do anything other than have a fucking joint on him now is in jail for 2 months. And then it's like a fucking snowball. It just fucking rolls down the hill, and it becomes a fucking massive snowball that's gonna fucking, you know, destroy the fucking European village. And so it's just awful. It's like everything is backwards, and. But that can also be said for people, like, you know, there are so many people that recreationally do cocaine, and it's the same thing. And so they're in the same thing, you know. And then at the same time, you've got people that you cannot have a drink in this country and get behind the wheel of a car without getting a DUI if they want to charge you with it. It's almost impossible. And the, and meanwhile, the fucking country doesn't tell you that that's the state we're in. You know, it's not 0.08 anymore. You know, if you blow a 0.03, if you, then you have you are getting some form of DUI. So it's just like we're living in draconian times, probably more than we've ever lived in before. Really, if you think about it. Except for marijuana, where states are rebelling, but we need to rebel against all of that shit. You know?
I think so, man. Jinter,
you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so what are you screaming at? What are you saying? Get to.
I was singing.
No, what were you saying?
Pots and doors, cots and sores, lots of pores.
Wow. What? Oh, my goodness. You're such an imbecile. Well, we're at 112. I don't know if we can make it to 30.
What did you say?
Said we're at 112. I don't know if we can make it to 130.
What do you mean we're at 112?
In time.
It's 12:50.
You're an imbecile. You're so stupid. Just like we're like Abbott and Costello.
Oh,
we're at one.
Oh, he's talking about like. mine says 58 minutes. What is yours? Says 112.
I don't know. Maybe. I called in before. Hey guys. So yeah,
dealer?
I don't know.
Like,
do you remember back in the day? Do you feel that police officers back in the day were actually? What's your question?
I said, was those your dealers?
What about dealers?
Were those your dealers that you just said hi to?
No, I don't have you. You're just obsessed with this idea that I'm a drug addict and I haven't taken any for ages. You're totally obsessed. The idea that I'm some sort of like degenerate drug addict when I'm not. All right, and then damn it. Okay. So
what the fuck is going on over there?
So, you used to essentially embarrass me in front of my neighbors. But it's fine. They're nice people. That's your dealers. They're like people, they're like a couple walking a pug. And they told me, like, the other night, they're like, we're using this pug as a, see if maybe if this pug we can raise it well, we're gonna have kids. And then you're like, hey, are those your dealers? but you know, what can you do?
Wait, did they actually say that?
Yeah, they said that.
No, they did not.
I mean, no, they did. They're like my. I don't know, I guess my apartment friends, kind of. But I just, you know, I see them, you know, they walk the pug, and then the pug comes over, and it's a little pug, and it bites me and all that, and it's very cute. And then I've got you on speaker, and you're asking if they're my dealer. So that's fantastic. And then I just, like, I wave them off. I'm like, you know, like, I don't know. I did some kind of mime that they understood.
Oh, you're talking to an insane person. I get it now.
Yes, oh, yes, yes. Talking to an absolute madman who has no ability to exist in the real world. But yeah, do you remember back in the day when we would just go to Perkins and we would have coffee and there was always like a cop in front of Perkins and we'd always be like, "Hey, how you doing? Can you do me a favor and tell me the time?" And he'd look at you like you're the biggest piece of shit, and he'd go, "It's 12:45. But, I mean, that was the worst that we had to deal with. And I guess that, you know, perhaps is white privilege. I'm not sure what that was. But they were always surly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, something changed between then and now to where
dude, I got pulled over so many times coming over to your house because you live in, like, a nice
area.
Of course
you did. Because of your car.
Yeah, I had a fucking hoopty. They're like, "What's this motherfucker doing over here?"
Yeah. I mean, and, like, luckily, you probably weren't drunk most of the times. Were you ever pulled over drunk and got off?
No, but I was, and I think you were with me. Do you remember that time we were going to, like, Tampa for some reason, and we dropped, and so then for some reason we had to keep driving. I think we were going to see Chess.
Oh, my goodness. We dropped acid?
Yeah.
Yes, and we were going to see Chess. I do remember that.
We dropped it on the way there, and then, like, right, like, while it was, like, just starting to kick in, pulled over for fucking speeding, and I was driving.
Oh, yes, that did happen. Yeah,
and
but we
hadn't
been drinking.
Giggling in the fucking passenger seat. I was like, "Dude, shut the fuck up."
Well, yeah,
oh,
that did happen. Yeah.
I think Brent or Brian was in the back seat, like, scared that we were going to go to prison.
And then flash forward to when we were actually watching this play, which was, like, I would say like maybe kind of like, if you would have seen the play on Broadway or something, it was like a 40%, you know? Like, it was not a great play. It wasn't bad. But we were watching it, and it was kind of interesting. And I remember you whispered into my ear. You go, "Rhett," because we were starting to pee. You go, "Rhett, if I were to scream, I am James right now. I am James right now. Everything would be disrupted. The play would stop, and everyone would look at me." And this is what you're whispering in my ear. And I look at you, and I go, "Don't do it." I said, "For fuck's sake, do not do that. I understand where you're coming from, but don't do that." And you look at me and you're like, "Oh, I'm not going to do it, but it's just like I want to so bad." So, yes, that's where we got to that night.
Wait, was that the same night we got in the car chase with the chicks? No, that was different.
I don't think so, but there was a car chase. Like a high speed.
Yeah.
Like, and it must have tickled your fancy because of being a fan of the Dukes of Hazzard. I could only imagine how great it was for you that we were in a high speed, in a high speed car chase with girls. I forget what we did to them, but we did something bad.
No, they did something bad to us. So remember, we were there and we got like two hotel rooms, and they were connected or something, and they all came in our hotel room, and we got kicked out. And they went back to their room and locked us out of the fucking hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
That I believe we had even paid for at that time.
Yes, we had. Well, by we, you mean I did. Because I was probably the only person that was working. You remember how I used to work at Oyster Shell? Yeah, and I was the only person that. So I always had cash.
Right. All right, whatever. Maybe it was just you, whatever, dickhead. But
oh no! But what I'm saying is that's probably the thing.
No, but do you remember?
Anyway,
I want to finish the story. So they fucking locked us out, and we're just total fucking bitches, and we're like, what the fuck? And we're driving back. I think it was actually my idea. I don't know. I don't want to completely take credit for it.
It was.
But I think it was. It was my idea.
Yeah.
I was like, yo. It was like a 2.5 hour drive home, right? And we had driven for like an hour and a half. And I was like, yo, we should pull over and tell these bitches our car broke down and they got to come and get us.
Oh, my God. It did happen. Oh, my God. This is only shit that could happen in high school.
Right. So, we sit there. Not only do we convince them to come and get us, we sit there for like the hour and a half it takes them to drive.
From my memory of this, now it's coming back to me, and I had totally forgotten about this. What we did was we pulled over, and we were like, and it wasn't like, I don't know if it was an hour and 45 minutes. It was like 30 minutes out, right? And we called, and we were like, hey, we are broken down. We don't know who to call. We don't have any money. Can you please pick us up? And that was your idea. And I don't know who actually made the phone call. And then when they came and they pulled up right beside us, and we all just gave them a middle finger, and then we pulled off. And then that's where the chase started. And it was a chase. It was like a 90-mile-per-hour chase.
And I believe that we were chugging beer cans at them, I think.
Oh, yes, it was awful.
We could have caused a deadly collision for sure.
Yes, that's a good story.
So
because
Charlie's white car.
I don't remember whose car it was.
I think it was his car because it was super fast and they couldn't keep up with them. So we were totally toying with them. It was awesome.
Yeah, Charlie had a zippy little Hyundai or something. It was
I don't think Hyundai was a thing back then.
Yeah, Honda. But I mean, it was fast. And And then, the other thing about Charlie is, do you remember the, I don't think you were there, but so Charlie always sped. That was his big thing. It's he would, no matter where we were going, he'd speed. He had absolutely no respect for the law as far as the speed limit. So we're driving, and we drive to school, and in Fort Myers, McGregor, it was a 35, right? And he'd be going 70. He didn't give a fuck. So he's going he's driving me home, and this is 3:30 in the afternoon. So he drives, and he's driving at 70, and a police officer pulls us over, right? And so Charlie rolls down his window, and the police officer is do you know what you were just doing? And Charlie's no, just tell me. You were going 35 miles over the speed limit. What do you think about that? And Charlie's like, I don't know. I've got a heavy foot. Like, I mean, he's being that. And I'm like, I'm pissing myself because I'm like, Charlie, you're a fucking maniac. Right? So. So the cop's like, all right, he goes, I'm going to tell you something. Just don't, after Charlie, you know, responded to him like that, the cop goes, all right, I'm going to let you go. Just, you know, you got to not have a heavy foot. And Charlie goes, okay. So the cop pulls back, right? And Charlie fucking, he just puts his fucking pedal to the metal and speeds out at like 60 miles per hour, and then the lights are flashing again. I'm like, God damn it, Charlie! And he goes, and Charlie looks at me, I'll never forget, he goes, I just can't help it. And so, I mean, it's not a great story after that. The guy gives Charlie a fucking speeding ticket. But Charlie's just like, he looks, I just can't fucking help it, that fucking moron. Yeah, so, like, I'm trying to think of... Okay, and then the other stories of terrible driving. There was the time where I think it was you, me, and Brent had taken some... I'm pretty sure we were on LSD, but for some reason, my memory, it was still daylight, which, you know, not crazy. But you were driving in that big white car... And maybe Brian was in the back seat with him. And
we
would be just
big white car?
Yeah, that big white car you had. Or maybe the color's wrong. It was like a
light brown.
No, you had at one point you had like a, I think, a big like car, right?
I don't think I ever had a white car.
Okay, maybe it was brown. Or whatever. You had the pickup truck in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
And then what was the second car?
I don't know. Probably some big Buick or something.
Yeah, it was the Buick. Okay. So... you're driving us around the Buick, and it's you and Brent in the front seat, and me and Brian in the back seat, and we were all just like on LSD, and it was literally like literally like the afternoon, and we were all talking about something. And you were so excited that you would start talking to Brian and I in the back seat. You would just, like, turn your head around and you'd be talking to us. And we'd be like, James, look, you're driving. Look in front of you. And then Brent was like, no, it's okay. I'll just guide him. And you're driving like 35, 40 miles per hour, and you're talking to me and Brian, and Brent would go, all right, just go a little left, go a little right. So, yeah.
Well, where were they?
Oh. Well, they were, I guess, in a way. All right, we're at $1.30 almost, man, my man. Do you want to talk about anything else?
What do you want to talk about?
Oh, well, we don't. I don't know where all that came from, but I think it came from Kamala Harris, or no, no. Yes, it did. All that somehow came from Kamala Harris.
No, I mean, Kamala Harris is the shit out of this show.
Well, I mean, all right, let's just talk about, what do you think about Kamala Harris? I mean, she's going to be our next president if we vote for Biden.
I mean, honestly, I think literally anyone would be better than Trump, so she might be, I guess.
Okay, well, that was, all right, four words. Five words?
I think she's got to be his pick. Yeah. Oh, he already made the pick, right? Or did he, officially?
Yes, 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 yes. And here's another one. Surprising benefits of contemplating your death. What do you think about that? Because I think I might die soon.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I actually, I have a lot of chest pains. I'm not joking. I joke about that. Like, I've joked about it on the show before. I think I might die soon. And I'm okay with it, I think, as long as it happens quick. What are your thoughts about that? Do you believe in the afterlife?
No, I don't think so. But I do. I am scared to die, like pretty much every day.
Well, you don't believe at all in the afterlife?
What'd you say?
You don't believe at all in the afterlife?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't believe in, like, heaven or stuff like that. I don't know. I don't think I believe in reincarnation.
I mean, I don't know, like, either. Like, but at the same time, I think there might be some kind of, like, energy being passed around or something, I would hope, that, like, we would exist in some way, just, like, through a release of energy or something like that. Or no. Jesus, that, because that's the worst, you know. It's like, I think it's so more comforting to believe in some kind of spirituality than to not believe in any of it, don't you think? James.